Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and this morning we have with us Thomas Rennie. How you doing today, Tom?
I'm fine, thank you, Ken.
For those of you who have not yet met Tom Rennie, he's actually with TLR Consulting, and you're an expert in all kinds of things, but primarily you focus on, I guess, fibers in the carpet industry, is that right?
In consulting campaigns, just about all aspects of the carpet industry.
Okay.
My specialty was fibers, but it's in all aspects of the carpet industry.
All right. And you have a funny accent. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, you can't detect the Daltonian accent in that, right?
Well, actually, you might say I have the funny accent, but
as I tell my wife, I was born in Scotland, emigrated first to England, then to Canada, then to the U.S. of A.
Not only the U.S., but to Dalton, Georgia.
Yeah.
The reason I thought it'd be good to talk to you today is because, you know, in the news today, there are some more plant closings, and I thought it'd probably be good to talk for a minute about an area you know a lot about, which is carpet fiber. Today, in the news, we hear that Mohawk closed two plants. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in this carpet industry with fiber.
Right. Well, Ken, I mean, in August of 2006, the residential sector of the carpet industry, which comprises of about 65% of the total carpet industry, went into a recession. Just fell off the cliff. And it's actually been thus for 2 years now. Today, the residential market could be running close to 30 to 40% below the rate that we saw in 2005.
Now, these are in units you're talking about, right?
Yeah, these are in units.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This is an interesting dilemma that's come up here, Kemp. That market has been going down, and it's been going down rapidly, and the price of raw materials has increased. And the real unusual aspect of this is that these raw materials have actually stuck and been passed through the chain,
mm-hmm,
from the manufacturer of polymers for the industry right through to the manufacturer of the finished carpet. Normally what happens when a market's down, that means that sales of all these materials decline, and therefore there is an immense difficulty in passing through any price increases. But the change that we've seen probably in the last 5 years, and this has shown up even more in the last 2 to 3 years, is that these raw materials now supply a global market. And so it's not just the carpet market that buys them. There's the plastics engineering, and then there's markets in China and India, as well as Europe. So global demand for the raw materials has continued unabated as the economies outside of our country has grown very steadily.
All right,
so that really was an anomaly, and it was a good question and clarification. Whereas the units have gone down about 30 to 40%, the dollars have probably only gone down about 15 to 20%.
Well, do you get a chance to see the Carpet and Rug Institute's numbers, which are, I guess, based primarily on the consumption of primary backing, which you can't make carpet without primary backing? I don't think it's quite down as low as, you say, 30 to 40%. The last I saw, you say from August of 2006 to today, which is a little over 2 years, you say it's down between 30 and 40%. I think the CRI number might be closer to 25 to 30, but still it's...
But that's, you're right. Actually, it's a very good report. Linda Harrington does a good job in putting this together.
Mm-hmm.
And remember this, I'm talking about from the August of 2006.
Okay.
So we actually had a very good first half.
Uh-huh.
In 2006, and consequently that means that sort of compensates a little bit for the downturn. But from August of 2006 to now, I'm hearing this from clients and contacts in the industry. 30 to 40% in units is not a number that's
Well, another,
just pulled out of a hat, you know?
Another factor that I might interject is that what we're talking about is square yards when you talk about the CRI report. And if you're talking about fiber usage, I mean, we're starting to see lighter carpet produced. So while your square yardage may not be quite down that much, the poundage of fiber used might be down that much.
Yes, it continues to amaze me that price points still seem to rule in the retail market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you have to meet a price point and the price of the raw materials go up, then you have to compensate. And that compensation is maybe go to a different fiber or a lighter weight.
Yeah. I've got to admit, I don't want to get on a tangent here, but I think that's driven by folks at retail that don't recognize that the consumer does not know what the weight of the carpet they bought 5 years ago was. But
they don't know the weight of the carpet they bought 6 months ago or what it's made of.
Right, exactly.
So, all right, so I agree with you.
Yeah, let's get back to Mohawk has closed some plants.
Right.
That's one of the reasons we're talking. And so you mentioned that, you know, part of the big reasons or one of the big reasons is because of the residential demand of carpet is way down. But there's other things that have changed, too. I mean, these plants that are changing are spun plants. Talk a minute about this spun yarn and its lack of demand.
Right. Yes, that's the dilemma we've got here. That let's just take the residential market, 30 to 40% down. And within that market, the percentage of spun yarns, which means staple to yarn, the percentage of that has declined. And then even within that, the one that's taken the real beating in that is the nylon staple. And this is having a tough time. Here we have this product having to increase its prices because of their raw material costs. And now they're competing with recycled polyester. So I think what's happened, and I'm pretty sure what's happened, is that we've seen a decline, substantial decline in the demand for nylon staple. And there's two suppliers. Shaw has their own supply, and Solutia is the other. So there's been a decline in the demand for that product, and consequently, the carpet mills have started to close down the plants that convert staple in whatever form or fiber into yarn. And, you know, people like Mohawk and Shaw have BCF extrusion capacity. Some of it's lying idle at the moment. And so they would much rather run that capacity than convert a staple product into a yarn.
So, not to get too much into the technical part of this, but I mean, it's a lot more complicated to make staple than it is filament, isn't it?
Well, it's a lot more complicated to make the yarn from polymer through to staple into yarn. That's correct.
So, this shift away from staple, is this a consumer preference shift, or is this a manufacturer's influenced shift because they've got plenty of filament capacity they'd rather run?
I think it's predominantly the latter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And these two Mohawk plants that were announced this week, are both of those, you may not know, but are those staple?
Well, I know that one of them is staple camp. I think the other one is, but I can't see definitively that it is.
But I can tell you that most of the plant closings we've heard about this year from both Beaulieu, Mohawk, and Shaw are all in the past, the last, you know, several, in the last 6 or 7 months, most of those have been staple fiber plants.
Well, quite a number of them have been, the majority of them, Kemp, have been staple to yarn operations.
Right.
But the other thing that we've got to remember, in the expansion that we've seen of companies like Mohawk and Shaw, their expansion has been acquisition driven in a lot of cases. And so therefore they've got a number of, a lot of plants. And I think one of the things that we're seeing in this downturn that we're currently experiencing is the getting rid of and closing down of plants that had all the equipment and consolidating them for better efficiencies into other plants, or just closing them down and using better equipment elsewhere.
You make a key point there, and I want to put emphasis on it. What you're saying is that the big guys in this business grew through acquisition, and so, you know, while they are, some of them are $4 or $5 billion a year carpet producers, it's, you know, their efficiencies are hurt by the fact that they grew to that through acquisition. So they have multiple plants all over, you know, the southeastern area. And some of them, I mean, one of the reasons that you look at the way economies run in cycles, this is the time to take a look at what's not running efficiently and maybe cut that out, right?
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening.
So if you look at, let's take a look just at fiber for a minute in this carpet industry. You've got Solutia and Vista, and correct me if I'm wrong now, I'm not sure if I'm right, but Solutia and Vista, Shaw, Mohawk, Beaulieu, Aquafil, Universal. Are those most of the people who are making fiber for this industry?
Yes, and you've got a number of other companies in the commercial market. For instance, you J&J making their own fiber, Tandis making their own fiber, and, you know, smaller plants, but nevertheless making their own fiber.
Yeah, and
in
even
fact, we've just seen one company, Mattel, or the Thomas Industries. Yeah, they've filed for bankruptcy.
And they might end up being a Milliken property. We're just not sure yet, right?
Well, I read recently that these negotiations had been terminated.
Oh, okay, all right.
So I think they've fallen through. I don't know whether they'll come back again, but.
Uh-huh. And just one more thing before we run out of time: when we look at all the different fiber types out there, and we look at what's going on with the economy, certainly you're seeing a little bit more wool usage, because the delta between the cost of nylon filament and wool is closer, and so therefore wool is a little bit more affordable relative to nylon. You're also seeing a move toward use of polyester for a couple of reasons. One is the Sorona fiber, which is a new technology which uses some corn oil additive. Won't you fill in, top line, tell us.
Certainly, certainly. Well, first of all, you're seeing wool. I mean, wool will be used in the higher end of the market, and I think we've seen the Dixie Maslin Fabrica guys look at that particular product, and then that fits very well with their market. Yeah, our industry has always gravitated towards the lowest cost polymer, despite the properties in carpet. I mean, we saw that in polypropylene. Polypropylene was about one quarter of the cost of nylon and had huge growth. Now it's only about 75%, and so it's declined. But the fiber of that's growing in this, the polyesters, and there's two polyesters. You're quite right. You've got the PTT, which is the Sorona, and the Shell Chemical PTT Poly Canada product. Both these products have shown amazing growth over the past 3 years. So in a market that's been declining, they've done exceptionally well. in the case of polyester, the very fact that it is substantially cheaper than nylon has shown some gravitation towards that product, and particularly in weights above 40 ounces, 40 to 45 ounces, BCF polyester has it makes good carpet with attractive price points and attractive looking products that the consumer likes.
Let me just pick up on something you said a minute ago, just to put emphasis on it. What you're saying about polypropylene, it's only 25% less of the cost of nylon now? It's gone up that much?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
It is. And you should know.
Yeah, oh, I know.
That's your history.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember when it was 22 cents a pound?
Yeah.
It's up near a buck now.
It's almost a dollar now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's why you're not seeing those polypropylene Berbers like you used to.
Well, first of all, that style has gone out of fashion.
Right.
That loop style. And secondly, the cost has also increased substantially.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are about to run out of time, Tom. It's always interesting to get you on the interview with us here, and I appreciate you spending time with us. I thought it'd be good, in the light of these plant closings, to explain what's going on out there. So.
Enjoyed it, Kemp.
All right. We've been talking to Tom Rennie with TLR Consulting, and I'm Kemp Haar with FloorDaily.net.